The message during Advent here has been waiting for what's wrong, waiting for what's right in a world gone wrong. When we think about Advent, we remember that time of waiting and watching for Christ to come, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for God to come in and to do what he said he would do. So we're watching for God. This morning, we're going to look at the announcement of Jesus' birth. The angel came to Mary and announced Jesus' birth to her. And it was troubling in Mary's life. So I want you to watch just a little video this morning before I read the scripture. The scripture will be from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. But there's a short 2-minute video to kind of get you thinking a little bit about what this might have been like.
The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. She was growing into a teenager and was living then in the obscure village of Nazareth in Galilee. She gathered the grain during the day and tended the lamp late into the watches of the night. Her father knew the dedication of her work, her mother the kindness of her heart, her friends the curve of her smile. She stood on the threshold of womanhood. Among all the girls in the village, she had been noticed, chosen, betrothed, a child bride before whom lay only possibility. Her father could walk with pride in the city gates. Her mother could rest in the comfort of her daughter's future security. But then he came. Unexpected, unannounced, spoke openly and without shame of pregnancy, virginity, and a son. Things men never discussed, and women only whispered about behind closed doors. She questioned him about the particulars, but not about the promise. She knew the prophecies, and the angel's words rang true. She would be scorned and rejected, labeled as an adulteress in whispers and glances. There would be no more carefree walks to the market, no more happy trips to the well. 400 years her people had waited for hope, but God had been silent. Now he had spoken. The wait was about to end. 40 weeks, and then Emmanuel, God with us.
Wanted you to see that just to think a little bit about how this entered into Mary's life, what this was like to have the angel come and speak to her. And let's read now in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her 6th month, who was said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This angel comes to Mary. Mary is troubled. It doesn't take much. It's just the angel's greeting. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And it says Mary was troubled by this greeting. What sort of greeting could it be? What life or God encounter troubles you? Because this was an encounter that Mary was having with God. This was something God was bringing her that she hadn't asked for or even imagined before this time. What God or life encounter has troubled you? Often when God calls us to do something, it can be kind of troubling to us. Our first reaction, what? You want me to teach a Sunday school class? You want me to ask my boss for a raise? You want me to invite my neighbor over for tea? You want me to go to Africa? You want me to begin tithing on this budget? What is it that God might ask you to do that's troubling when you first think about it, when he first calls that out to you? Or it could be an event of life that troubles us, a project that we fear we can't get done at work, a shortage of finances, an illness, something that keeps us awake at night. What troubles you? Mary encountered God in the form of an angel, and it troubled her. And that was just the beginning of the troubling that Mary felt. It would continue. How do I break the news to Joseph? When will the gossip and the wagging of tongues stop? How do we keep this child safe? When will I see my family again, when they were in Egypt for several years? Why is Jesus so different from my other boys? There were lots of troubling things, I believe, throughout Mary's life. Things that troubled her. What troubles you? And my second question, why shouldn't you be troubled? And I'm not quite sure if that's exactly the right question. Maybe it's more like, why should you expect God to lead you? Or how can you receive some peace, some understanding from God, even though these things do trouble us? And the first thing that I want to say here from the scripture this morning is that you can admit your trouble. Mary was able to do that. Mary was troubled. The angel could see it. The angel could see that Mary was troubled by this message. And Gabriel doesn't just move on. He doesn't ignore the fact that Mary's troubled by all of this. And so the angel repeats and lets her know, you are favored. God is with you. He reassures Mary. Anybody would experience trouble, a troubled feeling, if you were in Mary's place. That troubledness is acknowledged by Gabriel, and she's given reassurance. One of the things I've learned to appreciate a little bit more in just the last couple of weeks is confession to God. There's all kinds of confession, but one of the things that we confess to God is our need for Him. To just tell God when we're troubled. To tell God when we're afraid. To tell God what it is that's on our hearts. We can confess what troubles us to God, and it helps us. It helps us to come before God that way. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's what God says to troubled people. 2 weeks ago, I spoke from Isaiah 40. I told you these were people that Isaiah was speaking to that were having trouble. They were in exile. These are God's words to them, as no doubt they cried out to him in their trouble. Confession of our troubled feelings is the beginning of receiving God's strength and God's help. That confession of what troubles us. Admit it. Bring it before God. Now the angel says, Mary, you're favored. God favors you. Why was Mary favored by God? Because she was a super saint? I don't think so. It wasn't because Mary was a super saint. God chose Mary to favor her just as he chooses you and me. He simply does. God chooses to favor us. Mary's troubled. Maybe it's because she feels unworthy. Who am I to be favored by God? How can I be favored before God, as this angel is saying? We're troubled by that question. We say, am I good enough? Am I good enough for God? Am I good enough for what God wants to do in me or through me? Sometimes we say the things that are going wrong, it must be my fault. I must not be good enough. I can't get this done. I'm not capable of doing what God's calling me to do. Why should we be favored by God? This is what favor means. Favor means friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. Friendly regard. Is God your friend? Do you believe that God is your friend? God favors us. Just as he favored Mary, he favors us. I feel safe with a friend. Like they would do whatever they could for me when I needed help. Favor is friendly regard for another. God favors you. A favored team, since we happen to be in football season right now, a favored team is the one that's expected to win. God favors us. There's to be a good outcome. And so Gabriel reassures Mary, you have found favor with God. It's not because of who you are, but it's because of who he is. It's because of who God is. God desires to favor us. God loves us. And we need to know that. Mary needed to know that. That's why the angel reassures her in this way. We need to know it. 1 John 4, 18 to 19 says this. There is no fear in love. It's talking about God's love, that God is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. God loves us. That means we are favored. And what John's trying to get across here is we don't need to live in fear, because God loves us. There isn't any fear in love. God loves and cares. We are favored. And so when we're troubled, we need to fall back on that understanding, to know that God favors us, God loves us. Mary needed that. The third thing is that God has a plan. The angel presents to Mary the plan that God has, this plan of bringing his son into the world through Mary. This Jesus, who would be called the Son of the Most High, who would be given the throne of his father David, who would reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom would never end. That's the Messiah. That's who they've been waiting for. God has a plan for that. We have a favored scripture today when we think about, does God have a good plan for my life? Does God have good plans for his people? I kind of wonder, because Mary would have known this scripture. I wonder whether it was a favored scripture in Mary's day. The scripture I'm talking about is from Jeremiah 29:11. I kind of wonder, was it a favorite one back in Mary's day? This is what it says. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has plans. Plans for us, plans for those around us, plans for our world, plans for all of eternity. God has a plan, and God's plan is good. That's what Jeremiah was saying to the people. Now we need to know, who was Jeremiah talking to? Well, just like Isaiah, Jeremiah was talking to people who were in exile. People who had been dragged away from Jerusalem. And as they waited there, there were certain prophets who were telling them, you're going to come back to Jerusalem. You're going to come back soon. Don't listen to anybody that tells you anything else. And Jeremiah, who's still in Jerusalem, writes a letter to the exiles. And this verse comes from that letter that he writes to them. It's the word of God that God has given to Jeremiah. And in this letter, what he tells them is, he says, settle down. Get settled into a home. Get settled into a farm. Grow your food. Give your sons and daughters in marriage where you're at right now, in exile. You're going to be there for 70 years. So get settled in. Seek the peace of the cities that you live in. Contribute to the community where you're at. Those were Jeremiah's words. And Jeremiah says in the midst of that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I have good plans for you. God has a good plan. How many times must Mary have questioned God's plan when she almost lost Joseph? When she was ridiculed as an outcast. When she gave birth on the road. When her family was exiled to Egypt. When Jesus hung on the cross. How many times did she wonder about God's plan? Jeremiah was telling those exiles, he says, don't believe the lie that it's all supposed to be smooth and easy. But know the truth, that God does have plans for you that are ultimately good. And even in the midst of the things that aren't smooth, God, through Jeremiah, gives instruction on how to receive God's blessing during that time of upheaval in their lives. Because he tells them, settle down there for a while. Give your children in marriage. Seek the peace of the community that you live in. God says there's some rough things you're going through. But here's the way to receive my blessing during this time. He shows us what to do during those troubling times. He leads us. And I think God was present with Mary as well. I sometimes wonder, in Mary's life, was she able to see the whole picture? I think she was somewhat after Jesus' death and resurrection. But I wonder, I don't think she could see the whole picture as well as we might be able to see it today. But she remained faithful in her life. And we know that God's plan with Mary and with Jesus is good. It's something that all of us need. We all need a Savior. Our plans aren't always God's plans. Sometimes the way we plan things doesn't match up exactly with the way God does. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." God is at work. Our plans are not always God's plans. Making plans is a good thing, because Proverbs also says in 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." So the Bible doesn't teach us don't plan anything. I think what it does teach us is be open to what God is doing. When your plans don't work out exactly the way you were planning, are we open to God? Are we open to what God's doing at that point? Mary had plans. What was she planning? A wedding. We have a couple of people in this congregation who are planning a wedding right now. Takes a lot of work. There's a lot of planning to be done. Now God shows up and he disrupted those plans for Mary. He says, I have an even better plan. And at times, I don't think it looked to Mary like a better plan. But God had a better plan. God had something more that he wanted to do. I'm sure there were occasions in which Mary must have said, you call this favored? You think? When I thought about that, I thought about Tevier and Fiddler on the Roof. If you've ever seen the movie or the play, Tevier is a Jewish man. And he's always having these conversations with God, talking about what's going on with God. And I thought Tevier might have said something to that effect. One of the things he did say, I looked up a quote. He said, I know, we are the chosen people. But once in a while, can't you choose someone else? Sometimes it feels that way. I'm sure Mary felt that way sometimes. Our plans don't always match up to the plans that God has. But the promise is that God has good plans. And so what we do then is we open ourselves up. And that's what Mary did. Mary submitted to God. Submission is the key here. Mary submitted her life to God. She said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She surrenders. She resolves to trust God and to join in what God is doing despite the almost absurdity of what the angel has to say. I'm a virgin after all. I'm going to bear a son. I believe the fear to overcoming, fear and anxiety of some of these encounters of life or encounters that we have to God is our willingness to join in with what God is doing, to accept what is happening in our lives and trust God with the outcome. That's what Mary was doing. No doubt she had to come back to it again and again in her life. And we see Mary immediately going into action. Mary goes to Elizabeth's house almost immediately because the angel had said, here is a sign that God indeed can do the impossible. Your aunt or your cousin, Elizabeth, who's way over childbearing age and has never had a child, is going to have a child. She's pregnant now. After visiting Elizabeth, Mary breaks out into a song of praise. We didn't read that this morning. That's the next thing in the scripture. Andrew Murray says, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that's wholly yielded to him. Full responsibility. Are we ready to give him that? To give him that full responsibility? Bruce Larson tells how he helped people struggling to surrender their lives to Christ. He was in New York City, and as he counseled people, he would often take a walk with them and they'd go over to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue where there's a big, gigantic statue of Atlas. And I have a picture of it this morning. Looks to be the strongest man in the world, holding the world on his shoulders, straining to do so. And Bruce Larson would say, that's no way to live, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. And then he said he would take them across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there behind the altar, there's a statue of the little boy Jesus, effortlessly holding the world in his hand. He said, we have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world. I give you the whole world. Mary submitted to God. I think she gave God her world. And she said, I'll do what you have for me to do, Lord. I'll receive what you're bringing into my life right now. And I'm going to leave it with you, God. I can't carry it myself. I asked Pat Baer to share a testimony regarding prayer this morning. She shared it with the intercessors on Friday. And I was encouraged because it really talks a little bit about bringing things to God. Not just carrying them ourselves, but things which trouble us. And so, Pat, if you'd share, she's going to share right there from her seat. Just share that testimony with you. It's an encouragement, I believe.
I shared this Friday at our prayer time. When we get together, we pray, but we also use it as a time to share answered prayer as a way of encouraging each other. And I shared with the group about a nephew that I've been praying for many years. He has led a difficult life, and a lot of it is of his own making, decisions that he's made, choices that he's made. And through this, he has basically cut himself off from the family, even his parents and his sister. And, of course, this has brought a great deal of pain and sadness. Earlier this fall, I had him again in my heart, you know, just a very strong way. And I just cried out to God again for my nephew. So I contacted my sister and I said, do you have a phone number, an address, any way that I can contact him? And she says, Pat, we haven't heard from him in 15 months. We don't have a phone number. We do not have an address for him. And I'm like, okay, I just went to prayer. That's all I had. I could not call him. I could not reach out to him, but I could pray. I shared it with Joe. Together we prayed. I prayed that God would somehow reach him, that God would send someone to him. I said, God, you have your people in California. I know that you do. Send someone to reach him. And with Christmas coming, I was especially burdened for him, for my sister and her pain. And so I prayed specifically. I said, God, I want a Christmas miracle. I want my nephew to contact his parents by Christmas time. So I continued to pray this, and I shared it with another sister. I told her, I said, this is what I'm asking God for. This is what I want my Christmas miracle to be, that he would contact his parents. I couldn't imagine their pain, the not knowing, the not being able to reach out to their son. A week ago, my prayer was answered. He called his parents. He told them where he was, and he gave them a telephone number so that they can reach him. My sister and brother-in-law were, of course, thrilled, and they sent an email around to the family, thanking us for our prayers. I was absolutely blown away by what had happened. Many times I pray and I wonder where God is in all the disappointment and the sadness and the pain, and I cannot see the answer like I did this time. But this has given me great encouragement. God knew I needed this, to remember that God hears, he loves, he cares. And as Pastor Phil told us in a message a couple Sundays ago, our responsibility is to be obedient, to remain faithful, to get involved, and other times we just pray, then the rest is up to God. We will continue to pray for my nephew and to trust God that he brings him to a place of hope and healing. In the meantime, we wait and we watch.
Thank you, Pat. Mary yielded to God. She said, "Let it be to me as you have said." And that's what God calls us to. He calls us to yield. He calls us to give it to him, to let God carry the burden, because he's the one who can do that. We cannot do that. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Elizabeth says at the end of the scripture today, "Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That's what we're called to this morning. We're called to trust God in that way. It's quite a challenge. I think Elizabeth was reminding Mary of that. I think the Lord speaking through Mary was reminding her of that. You may be troubled. You can admit that to the Lord. You are favored by God. God has plans. They may not look quite like yours, but God has good plans. Submit to him and give him the burden. Let's pray. Lord, there are many things that trouble us. Sometimes it's a direct encounter with you. Sometimes it's just the things that seem to come to us in life. But Lord, we want to proclaim our trust in you. We want to submit to you, Lord, just as we see Mary doing. Father, you carried out your good plan and your good purposes through Mary in the life of your Son come to live among us. And Lord, we are so grateful this morning that you loved us that much to carry out your good plan, even though it was difficult for those involved. And so, Father, enable us to be able to see, Father, as we watch and wait, to see you move, Lord, in the areas where we may be troubled. Father, we give you thanks for the many places that we have seen your hand at work already. We thank you for what we have seen, what we have heard of in Pat's nephew, Lord, the way that you have moved. Continue to move in his life. Lord, continue to move in all of the areas where we may be troubled. We trust you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.